you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
I'm on the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, gang, you're listening to The Ooze, the Praxis Edition, and this is Jason Sorrell kind of standing in for TC Downey. TC had some emergency stuff come up, and don't ask me what's going on because I don't know for sure, but he says he should be back for the weekend shows. I know he's really looking forward to the Sunday show, so I expect whatever he's got going on, he will get it handled and he'll be ready to go by at least Sunday, and I'm hoping by Saturday. In the meantime, the time slot was still open. I think TC meant it actually to go through and cancel the time slot, and since the time slot was still open, I decided I would just jump on and basically fill the remaining 45 minutes of the time slot. So I'm logging into the Satanic International Network page right now and posting on the wall that the Ooze is on, so that if Female Satan, who's the other host on this edition, wants to call in, she can go ahead and jump on, and we can go ahead and, you know, I'll try to facilitate whatever she wanted to talk about. In the meantime, as soon as I get all that taken care of, there we go. As soon as I get all that taken care of, I'm going to go ahead and talk about whatever's on my brain for the next 45 minutes. The folks have been following the whole Occupy movement, the Occupy Wall Street, and it's bigger than Occupy Wall Street anymore, but the news media still refers to it as the Occupy Wall Street movement. And the reason for that, I think, is because the core of the movement is in opposition to, you know, of course, corporation and banks having, you know, political influence above and beyond what an individual person might. You know, corporations being legal entities, and then those entities being able to vote, you know, not only by, you know, casting a ballot, let's say, but, you know, putting thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars into lobbyists and politicians' pockets. And that influence is unfair and incorrect, and that's the main thing they're pushing for. The Occupy movement has been, at least up until recently, a peaceful movement. And there's been some issues. I mean, here locally in Austin, we got people, you know, pissing on the sidewalk, and I know they're doing that in New York, pissing and shitting in places. I saw a video of some guy actually shitting on a cop car and everything. And you have people, I think in Austin, there was some guy who was arrested for brandishing a knife, and it's starting to get a little weird, starting to get a little hairy. And it's because you got a group of people out there who really don't know exactly what they want, really don't know what their message is. They've got a bunch of different ideas, and they're opposed to order, a lot of them. They're opposed to the system on a deeper level than I think the organizers of this thing really were prepared for. The organizers of this thing want the system to go in the direction they want it to go in. They want the system to change and become what they envision the system should be. But they don't recognize that a lot of people that they're dealing with, a lot of people that they're getting their support from, don't want there to be a system at all. And this is going to be the ultimate failing, I think, of the Occupy movement. Although there's some interesting things going on with the Occupy movement, and I would continue to support the effort. And I'll be explaining why here in just a moment. But it's just getting a little crazy. Now, of course, The mayor of Oakland has decided that those folks can't be on public grounds anymore occupying. So he sent down the local city police department, and they are, of course, you know, in their armor and in their using their shields and everything else, and they have cleared off whatever space they were occupying in Oakland, and they put up a chain link fence, and they're telling these people they can't be there. And we've heard sound bites. There's a sound bite from a Marine or a former Marine. I don't think you're ever a former Marine. He was a Marine who no longer is serving, who talked about how he had, you know, joined the service, and he was trying to defend our freedoms, defend our liberties. And this is how, you know, the liberty is being expressed. You can't show up on public property and speak your mind. And it is public property. Okay, so for whatever purposes, you know, zoning ordinances, or, you know, different ordinances, city ordinances, things like that, about what time you can be there. It was a legal demonstration. It was a legal gathering. I'm trying to think of the words. You have to forgive me because, again, I'm kind of doing this on the fly. It was a legal demonstration, a legal protest, up until the squad leader who was there sent there to cause it to disperse. Showed up and declared it no longer a legal gathering. Okay, now how that happens, you know, that's kind of arbitrary, I think. That is legal until a person of authority, a person wearing a badge, shows up and says, nope, this isn't legal anymore. I'm going to have to call bullshit on that. And that's been the big story with the Occupy movement here the last couple of days, is that it's starting to wear thin on the powers that be. I think initially they said, oh, you know, we'll tolerate it and it'll burn itself out. It'll go away. You know, all these people, they don't have the energy to, they don't have a coherent thought. So how are they going to stay focused on, you know, doing this day in and day out? How long could it possibly last? You know, what's going to happen next? Now there's some murmurings, though, about, you know, they're expecting the winter will shut this down. In most of the colder cities, it probably will. Now, with the winter months coming on, especially, can you imagine in New York City and that on that great big cement block, you know, middle of January, February, you know, sitting out there, and I don't care, it can be middle of the day, it's going to be cold. It's going to be crazy cold. And you're not going to want to be there. You're not going to be involved in that. I think you'd rather be inside planning for the spring. And the murmuring now is going in that direction, that people are kind of talking about, well, wait a second, okay, these cats are serious. You know, they might not have a shared idea among them, but it doesn't matter. They're going to be here. They're going to be here day in and day out. And I don't see, you know, personally, I don't see what the issue is. They're not impeding business. They're not impeding, you know, people entering and leaving buildings. They're just there, there for everyone to see. Why that bothers these people, why that bothers these politicians, these business people, what have you, why they see that as an issue, I do not know. Is it a reminder that, you know, when they go in to do their job, that they need to be doing the job, at least as far as politicians are concerned, is a reminder that they are a servant of the people, and this is what the people look like, not, you know, corporate interests. Does that bother them? Does it pull on what heartstrings they might have? I doubt there's a heart there, but the strings might still be attached. Is that what's going on? These corporations, do they look out there and look at the people and go, oh, you know what? If that gets associated with us here at, you know, ABC Big Corp, well, you know, we don't want that. We don't want that to negatively affect our stockholders or whatever. Or, you know, does it offend their senses? You know, oh, look at how that guy's dressed. Look at that person's hair. Look at the smell. You know, or not look at the smell. Can you smell the smell? That kind of thing. Whatever the issue is. And think about this. I mean, if you've seen the movie American Psycho, when you are buttoned down, when your whole thing, not only do you have to be good at your job, you have to appear a certain way. You have to, you know, you have to make sure that the powers above you think that you are a confident, you ooze success. So when you actually come to, you know, as an adult in that kind of environment, anything outside of that, anything outside of your button-down suit, anything outside of that kind of, you know, glass and steel environment, you don't like it. It bothers you. It makes you nervous. And of course, it sometimes I think it also pisses some of these people off. That you went to college for 4 years, you quote-unquote busted your ass in school. You probably sucked enough dick to impress a fucking whore there in New York City to get where you're at and everything, figuratively and literally, I'm sure. And when you turn around and you're looking, this is what I've done to make a success out of myself. This is what I've done to make sure that I'm successful in my life. And you look out there and you see some kid in, you know, fatigues basically with unkempt hair. You know, he's got the whole dreadlock thing going. He's got, you know, he smells like patchouli and everything. And he's just, you know, and he's just there living his life. Okay. And none of your values apply to that kid. I bet it pisses you off a little bit. What did that kid do? As far as you're concerned, as far as your standards are concerned, Mr. Businessman, all that kid did was be born and show up. That's all he did. Now, his whole life has a whole – he went to a whole different kind of school, trust me. He went to a whole different college, you know, the college of the street, the school of hard knocks. That's where that kid grew up. And, frankly, I would trade his degree for your degree any fucking day. But that, you know, this is the thing with going on with the Occupy movement. And, of course, now there's a little bit of talk about how there's this four-minute video out. I don't know if folks have seen this yet or not. There's a four-minute video out about the Occupy movement. This is covered by Wall Street. It's called, I think it's called The Hot Chicks of the Occupy Movement. And essentially it's just two girls who are speaking their minds for 4 minutes, okay? So I don't think there's anything – I haven't seen the video myself. I haven't gone out of my way to look it up because, well, frankly, I only care enough to talk about it during the hour or so I've got on the show to talk about. But anyways, so these chicks, I guess, are just speaking their minds. So I, from my understanding, and I may be wrong, but from my understanding, there's actually nothing sordid about this. They're not, you know – honestly, getting naked, although, you know, it is the Occupy movement. These chicks might be naked all the time. You don't know. So look it up on YouTube, you know, and before it gets banned or whatever. But anyways, the point was that these women actually got to speak their mind. And one of these women's mothers actually came out and said that she was very glad that it was done tastefully. And the point being that, you know, you didn't see anything, and it just showcased how these intelligent and thoughtful and powerful, her words, keep in mind, she's a mom, so she's probably a little biased, but her words, intelligent, thoughtful, and powerful women, they gave the opportunity to speak. Now, of course, some of the chicks who, you know, of course, weren't in the video, non-hot chicks of the Occupy movement, I guess, maybe, you know, I don't know, and you know, just guessing here, the feminists that are part of this thing and everything, so they take an offense to the way the thing was promoted. They don't like the idea of women being referred to as hot chicks. So that was kind of funny that these women are getting a little upset about things. Let me go ahead and I got a caller. Wow, let me go ahead and bring a caller on the line here. So 615 area code, you're on the Ooze, the Praxis edition. What's going on?
Hey, it's FS. I've been trying to call in for a while. I just checked the homepage just then and realized that these had some stuff come up. So.
Yeah.
Here I am.
I tuned in to listen to the show and saw that nothing was going on and the slot hadn't been closed down. TC's got something going on. I haven't actually talked to him yet. He says he's going to be back on for the weekend shows, hopefully. So I thought, well, shit, we got this time slot going. I might as well fill it with something.
Exactly.
But yeah. So, but this is your show. So I'm glad you showed up. What are you guys talking about tonight, or what do you want to talk about?
You're talking about the Occupy movement. We can do that for sure. We were going to do influencing others, but me and him can do that next week.
Okay, cool.
You know.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Just save it for next week when he's on the air and everything. That I saved you a week of show prep for this show, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess I was talking about some of the news, the news actually today, current events shit about the Occupy movement. I mentioned, of course, all the stuff that's going down in Oakland. I talked about the hot chicks of the Occupy movement. Have you seen that video yet?
Not yet.
I haven't seen the video either. From what I understand, it's very tastefully done. It's actually just a couple of women who are given the opportunity to speak. And they may be attractive. From what I understand, they probably are attractive. One of the women's mothers actually said that she thought it was very well done, and that it was a good way to give a couple of intelligent, thoughtful, and powerful women an opportunity to speak their minds. Now, what I found interesting about the story, though, was that other women that are part of this movement have taken offense, because this is something that was promoted by the organizers of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Some of the women that are part of this whole process have gotten upset with the idea that it was promoted as the hot chicks of the Occupy movement. So,
see, that always kills me, because just because a woman is intelligent doesn't mean she's not attractive, or that just because a woman's attractive doesn't mean she's not intelligent or isn't, you know, wanting to, you know, do something. Women tend to do that to each other a lot, I think. It's like, still attack a woman just because she's attractive, as opposed to attacking any points of view she has. Yeah, that's kind of, I do have to agree with the mother there. I'm always thrilled to see attractive women that are also intelligent step up and, you know, do something, even if it's, you know, and sex sells, you know, why not? Why not have the hot chicks of the Occupied movement do a calendar if you want to? Who cares?
Right, and that's all. I mean, I've witnessed that myself. That women tend to, you know, they dig in on each other, and it's that's always been my experience. Has been the most intelligent women that I deal with, when even if they aren't really attractive, and with the attractive ones, they know how to use it. They milk it. They, you know, because they're intelligent. They recognize the advantage in it. So, it's foolish. I think with women for a woman to sit there and say that a woman shouldn't use her assets. I mean, if she's born with a certain set of, you know, gifts, you know, however you want to infer that from that. But if she's born with something and she uses it, other women shouldn't come down on her for it. Matter of fact, if women are using it, it should make it easier for other women to follow suit. But yeah, that was their big issue. There was these women shouldn't be objectified, and the objectification mm-hmm. of women should be part of the whole. You know, they should be opposed to that as part of this movement.
Oh, yeah, I've had experience with that myself, which is that I'm an attractive woman, and I do use that skill, but I've had a lot of people just dismiss me automatically as, you know, an intellectual lightweight or other things because I'm attractive, which I always find rather laughable because I always think to myself, you know, if you're dismissing all attractive women as naturally stupid for some reason, you're probably going to actually lose at the end of the day, because I highly doubt that, you know, women, you know, I actually think that in a lot of ways, and I've seen that, women that are, you know, truly secure in themselves and actually have a really good sense of understanding will keep themselves better than a woman who just feels like, you know, she doesn't. And it's always funny to me that, you know, yeah, it's like you're supposed to be a little man, or, you know, in order to be a feminist, for example, you have to be like a little man, basically. And I really despise that whole idea that exists out there, because to me, like, I don't really care what somebody looks like so much as what they're doing or what they're saying, you know?
Right on, right on. And it's, you know, when a woman has intelligence, and if she is dismissed by the male she has around her, well, that just makes it easier for her to get in to whatever that guy's got going on. And, oh, say whatever mm-hmm. you want around her. She barely understands what you're saying. You know, she couldn't possibly be the one embezzling millions of dollars from our company. She couldn't possibly mm-hmm. be the reason that my bank account is completely empty. And where did she go? She disappeared. Well, it's because she has a brain in her head and you didn't recognize it. And you didn't respect it. So now she's gone. So the pussy's gone, the partner you could have had in crime is gone, and you're fucking broke. And it's because you're a dumbass man. I have a great deal of respect for, you know, a wife. And it's a respect of a different color, I admit, but it's respect for women, and especially women who use what they have, intelligence, beauty, strength, the whole nine yards. But there's a bit on the whole Occupy movement that has been kind of talked about on the side. While I have my misgivings about the Occupy movement, because they don't have an actual agenda, they're all over the map as far as things they want to do. They're having trouble, you know, being cohesive, things like that. And different movements are being done in different ways in different cities. There's a point that I wanted to make, and the reason that I throw my support behind the Occupy movement, and I want to come back to that here. We're at the bottom half of the show. I'm going to go ahead and run our ad, and then we'll get into that when we come back, all right?
All right.
All right, cool.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, T-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddities Studios. Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format.
Hoo-wah!
Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddities Studios. www.creativeoddities.com.
I like the naked girl.
Creative Oddities Studios!
Yeah. All right. So, we're back. And we're talking about the Occupy movement. This is Jason Strell sitting in for T.C. Downey. And we got Female Satan on the line. This is the Praxis edition. And this is kind of on the fly. TC wasn't able to make it in tonight, so we're kind of just winging this by the seat of her pants. Now, we talked about the, you know, of course, this thing with the hot chicks, the Occupy movement. I kind of mentioned the things going on in Oakland, that things are starting to escalate, that the powers that be are starting to get really kind of upset with the Occupy movement. Of course, you got the mayor of New York who's saying that they can stay there as long as they want to stay, but then he's kind of back and forth on that. Here in Austin, Texas, they're trying to get the guys not to be there 24/7. That the Occupy, the local movement here on the road, is actually stepping in and going, we can't be here 24/7 because it's causing problems, and we don't want to cause problems. Other cities are being, you know, they're being told to move from point A to point B and things like that. And of course, in Oakland, they got out the riot gear and actually shooting tear gas into the crowd to get the crowd to disperse.
Here it's a rather small movement, and they actually they have to knock off about 5 or 6 because of legal issues. They arrested they arrested somebody for trying to stay overnight, so they all leave at night here. It's not a lot of people here either. I think it's up to, like, it was 2 weeks ago. I think it's up to about 10 people now.
The idea of somebody being arrested for being on public property all night long, okay, I find that ridiculous. That person is a taxpayer. He's an adult. You have a city ordinance or whatever that says you can't be on public land, public grounds or whatever, you can't be loitering or whatever it is, but that just shows kind of where the problem lies. I mean, if he's not doing anything, if he's just standing, you know, on a piece of sidewalk that he helped pay for, fuck it, let him stay there all night if he wants to stay there. Let him pitch a tent if he wants to pitch a tent. As long as he's not causing problems, it shouldn't be an issue. And it's just a way for these people that have the power, that have the money and resources to kind of prevent a person from expressing themselves in the way that they see fit.
I think a lot of the reaction to the Occupy movement in a lot of ways is showing what's wrong in this country at this point.
Well, absolutely. It's highlighting and bringing all these issues to the forefront, basically. But what they're talking about now, and they've only kind of started to talk about it in a sideways manner. They're kind of like off to the side, you know, oh, by the way, we have this riot gear out there, and we got these hot chicks of the Occupy movement, and oh, by the way, this thing's costing millions of dollars. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's like they slip it in there that, you know, the police officers are paying overtime, the cost of infrastructure, and it's funny when they talk about the cops who are patrolling the Occupy movement. They're referring to these police officers as security for the Occupy movement, not babysitters, not people waiting for something to go down, something to go wrong, not trying to protect the people around the Occupy movement from the Occupy movement. No, they're not crowd control. They're security for the Occupy movement. But it's costing this. It's starting to cost these cities a ridiculous amount of money. So this is why I support what they're doing. Because by being there, by just being there, they become a drain on these different governments' resources. And when you become a drain on these resources, well, then all that corporate money that you're getting from these corporations, well, now you have to spend it. Now you have to put it out. So now it doesn't mean shit because you don't have it anymore. So maybe you'll start, if you want it to go away, if you want that money flowing back into your pocket, well, then you have to deal with these people and their issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that brings it back to what you were saying is one of your central issues with the Occupy movement is they really don't have any, there's no real agenda going on. So, yeah, I always wonder about that. Like, what happens when the government finally says, fine, we'll address your issues? You have a lot of different people out there with that are out there for completely different reasons. There's no real centralized reason why. It's actually my husband's biggest issue with the movement. It's not, he's always like, why are they out there? What are they doing? You know, he's like, I would support them if I knew why everybody was out there to begin with.
Well, the big central issue is they want corporate and banking money taken out of a political system, that they want mm-hmm. to return that political process to the people. Now, what mm-hmm. shape that takes, I'm not sure. But if they actually had a politician come out and go, okay, you know, where you're, it's costing us too much money for you people to be here. We don't want the negative press to come out here to send our guys out right here because we saw what happened in Oakland. We don't want it to get worse. So what is it you want us to do? You know, give us your 10 best points. And so what they would do, and this is how they talk about it here in Austin, what they would do then is they would get together. They would form an informal committee. Informal committee is basically anybody who's there at the time. And they'll go, okay, what do you guys want? And they would put together, based on, you know, majority rules, 10 issues. And then these are the issues they would hand to the politicians. You go, these are the things we want to see happen. So something would shake out of it. But what would be established, though, is that the whole country would be shown that there is a way that we know the traditional matters. You know, letter writing is not working. We know you can't compete with the lobbyists if you show up at your senator's office. But there is a way to get these politicians to wake up and listen to what people have to say, and it's just by being a fucking inconvenience for months on end. I mean, if you don't have a job, you don't have anything else to do, you want your politician to do something about you not having a job, well, he'll be Johnny on the spot about getting a job if it's starting to cost him money. So that's where I think the success of the Occupy movement is going to be.
Yeah, I do too. I think it also is a real reflection that, you know, at least in the United States, and I can't really comment on other countries because I don't know what's going on there, but there's definitely been a move away from the intentions of the founding fathers. You know, I have no real issue with the founding documents so much as I do mm-hmm. as what's going on right now. I mean, I think that America was founded on some really good concepts. They just have kind of disappeared, especially in, you know, recent years.
Right, and I've heard people talk about how if we had a true capitalist system. Now, I'm not sure where I'm at on capitalism. I'm still, because it seems to me that the shape of capitalism we have right now is what you would expect it to evolve into, that a group of a large number of workers who are receiving very little of the resources, very little of the benefits, supporting a chain of people above them who each tier receives more and more of the benefits for less and less actual investment into the labor. So that seems to be the way mm-hmm. capitalism works. But when we talk about the founding fathers, I mean, these people said, hey, go west. You know, if you don't like the way things are in the cities, if you don't like the way things here are, running in Boston, if you can't get a job, well, just head west. Pack up your ship and head west. You know, find yourself a spot, cut down some trees, you know, build yourself a log cabin or whatever, and have at it. What I think would be kind of cool is if these folks that are occupying these different spaces, that are being there for months, supporting themselves, working together with, you know, with these different people that are around them, you know, figuring out how to deal with waste management, figuring out how to deal with, you know, their resources, where they're getting food, where they're getting water, what they're doing for entertainment, what they're doing for education, what they're doing for their own medical care, all on their own, basically. If they woke up one day and said, you know what, we've been doing this for like 2 months straight, do we really need the government? Do we really need mm-hmm. these people to wake up and pay attention to us? We're fine just as we are. You know, maybe we should move this whole thing down the street someplace and just occupy a piece of land. You know,
yeah.
Occupy one of our national parks. You know, go bear hunting, something. I think that would be huge.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's, you know, I see that happening eventually, you know, in America, is that I think eventually people are going to just start moving as far out of the system as they can, and there still are ways around, you know, in the United States to do that. And I think that those ways are going to be more exploited as years go on, because it's not getting any better. Things just keep getting worse. You know, every
right.
day, you know, if you watch the news, you see, you know, just more evidence of, you know, the lack of the fact that, and I'm very good on, you know, economics. Honestly, I don't really understand all the basis behind capitalism. You know, I'm honest enough to say that right up front. But yeah, I get the feeling that, you know, it's going to change. And what, you know, my biggest fear, and also in a way the thing that I'm a little excited about, is that I do see that eventually, you know, I feel like people are going to get together and start forming their own states, and those states are going to start seceding from the union, and that's when I think the real issues in the U.S. are going to really develop, because much like the Civil War, I don't think that the government's going to stand for, you know, Texas or wherever saying, nah, we're not going to be part of the United States of America anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think with the way things are going, if something like if Texas were to secede, or if Northern California said they don't want to be part of Southern California, and if they can't split off from Southern California, then they're just going to split off the United States, stuff like that. If that kind of thing mm-hmm. started to go down, we're talking about the like with Texas, it's like one of the largest economies in the world is Texas. So whereas, you know, back during the original Civil War, when the Southern states tried to secede from the Union, well, they didn't have the economy, really, to successfully succeed. I mean, they did, but, of course, the North had the economy to kind of try to stop them. If mm-hmm. Texas were to try to secede from the United States, there's a good chance that economically it wouldn't be feasible for the United States to try to actually go into that kind of war mentality to retain Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So it, but what I mean, it's the same thing TC and I have been talking about. I think what you're going to eventually see is you're going to see city states. You're going to see these groups mm-hmm. of people getting together who just turn their backs on the whole system and start doing things for themselves. So small towns or even smaller neighborhoods are going to basically, you know, work with one another, and you'll have some migration going on. You'll have people moving from point A to point B so they can get together with their friends and family in different places. And they'll just become self-sufficient. And then it'll be once you establish yourself, once you become self-sufficient as a city-state, then maybe you deal with trade or what have you with everything else. But it would be taking a step away from this bloated kind of corpse of a system that we're all clinging to right now. And
yep.
it's an exciting time in my mind, because as the system's options become fewer and fewer, well, then people who are prepared, people who have some creativity, some imagination, there's greater and greater opportunities for those folks.
Oh, yeah. No, I certainly agree with that. I think that, you know, people are already opting out, and I think that as time goes on, that's just going to get bigger. You know, I think the Occupy movement is a reflection of the fact that, you know, that's what I've always said, is that, you know, it's a real reflection that people are pissed off, which means that change needs to occur for sure. You know, even if nobody agrees on why they're out there, yeah, you know, people are not happy with the way things are going, and, you know, there does need to be some changes, but I don't think that everybody's ever going to agree on what those are, which is why I do like the idea of smaller city-states coming together, because, you know, I might not agree with a lot of people, but there might be, you know, a good few hundred that I do agree with that I can, you know, go do my thing with and be just fine.
Right. Right. And that's, I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. The one thing these people, they agree on the whole get corporate money out of the system. The other thing is they agree on is exactly what you're saying. They're all discontent. Doesn't matter what they're discontent about. They're all discontent, and they all feel like they don't have a voice in our government, which is why they're doing what they're doing. And as more people, you know, it doesn't matter if you agree with them or not. If you're discontent and you see these people out on the street, you know you're not alone. You know that somebody's actually taking action. Somebody's actually taking a step. Now we got about twelve minutes left. I'm gonna throw you a curveball here real quick. I actually was checking out your blog today. So if you want to throw out the URL to your blog real quick.
It's http femalesatan.blogspot.com.
Blogspot,
yeah, not blogpod. I found that the other day on a typo. That's actually a Christian thing. I don't know what that's about, but yeah, blogspot.com. Yeah, I put it up on the wall. Yeah, it was a typo. I was like, it's a bunch of Christian hymns. I was like, what is this? But yeah. I'm there. Yeah, I read your comment actually earlier today in my email.
Well, I really kind of dug that blog, and I'm still going through your other blogs, and you're much more concise than I am. So I definitely appreciate that because I can read through it, and I'm worried. It's a bad habit, I guess. But the idea that, you left behind this, what was a relatively, in my mind, a secure position in the suburbs to move to an urban environment, what was behind the decision to do that?
I just decided that, I don't know how to explain it, I spent the majority of my life really holding the American dream as my highest value. And one day I realized, I had just simply bought into what other people did. So I just sort of, flipped all that upside down to see what, else is out there, which is funny because it's like I was saying on the blog, I grew up in the urban setting. I should be used to this, and I'm not because, I ran screaming from it pretty much as soon as I turned 18 and I've never looked back. So it's been a very strange experience to go back into that for me because I left that behind a long time ago. And the irony is that I'm living in an area that I lived in when I was a small kid, had no issue with whatsoever. And now I'm terrified, it's a whole different world. But it was mainly the decision that, the success, what I felt was success is largely false. Is was my main thing. But, I've bought into what most people feel is success, and that's not, I mean, it's more important to be self-sufficient than, to be like everybody else.
Now, how long have you been in this changed environment?
About 3 weeks now.
About 3 weeks?
Altogether, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, are you finding that, that you're just trying to set your own standards, that you're really trying to define, what is important to you, what is of value to you? And it's just been 3 weeks, but is there anything that stands out? Is there anything that you think is more important to you or that you recognize as being of greater importance than it was back when you were in the suburbs?
Yeah, I would say that... honestly, and this is something that I find really ironic, is that I would honestly say that overall, in spite of all the insanity that you see in an urban environment, people are actually more friendly and more open in an urban environment. Like, when you live in the suburbs, people don't really talk to you very much. Like, here, I have people walking up talking to me all the time. Which I actually find rather ironic is that, it would actually be easier to make friends in an urban environment than a suburban environment. And, you were saying something about, there's a veneer of civility in the suburbs that seems to be there. But I'm starting to find that, in a way, people are friendlier, in an urban environment. And I'm starting to grow used to it. And, like I said, I grew up in it. So I'm starting to reach a point where it's like, well, I've been doing this my whole life, I'm used to it. And the main value that I've found is the most important thing to me personally is honestly my children and my family. The other things don't really matter to me as much as those five people do.
Right on. Now, I would think that in the suburbs, what's important is the appearance of stability and that bubble that you have. I mean, everybody has the exact same kind of house. The square footage is the same. The types of cars are roughly the same. You might wave to your neighbor on your way from your car indoors, but once you shut that door, the intention is that you're isolated from everything, that you have everything you need in your home, and you don't have to reach out to anybody. When you live in the when you live in the city, I would imagine that, and I've lived in the city before, so, you know, I've had a taste of it. I didn't grow up in the city, but having a taste of it, that, yeah, the people that are around you, they're watching out for each other. You know, if something happens to one household, well, there's a danger of it happening to other households as well. So you, when you don't have the bubble of security, well, then you reach out to one another, and it becomes it becomes real. That's the thing that that really struck me, was that, you know, here's an opportunity for you to experience something real. You know, not the artifice of the suburbs, because that bubble, I mean, the bubble's a good analogy, because it can burst at any time, and then you're left with nothing. And lo and behold, you didn't know any of your neighbors, and none of them knew you. So the fact that your house burned down, well, they don't give a shit about it. They could care less, but they couldn't care less about the fact that you burned down, your house burned down, because they don't know you. They didn't take the time to know you. Whereas in an urban environment, everybody knows you. So if something bad happens to you, you're going to have a percentage of those people step up and go, hey, you know, I heard what happened. Do you want help? Do you need this? Do you need that? Because I know if it happened to me, I would think that you'd be there helping me out too. So, yeah, I think it's a real opportunity to kind of get back to that, especially with your family. That connectivity you're going to have by having that, it's going to be reinforced. So that, I think it's huge. And it's, I mean, it's a bold move, but still, it's, I mean, you know, it's impressive. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing more on your blog about how that's working for you and your experiences and what have you. So that's very cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I came to the conclusion that, you know, I'm not going to just, you know, sit in the suburbs and, you know, talk the talk, so to speak. I'm going to actually do it. And this is mainly for financial reasons, because we have a goal, which, I talked about briefly, which is that we actually want to, you know, buy an RV, save up enough money to actually go nomadic so that we're not, you know, tied to any one place for any length of time anymore, because I don't want, like, you know, I told my husband, you know, when the shit hits the fan, I want a house on wheels.
Right.
So
right.
That's become our end goal, you know. It's like, how do you do it? How do you do it with kids? The funny thing, though, that is that for me, the school system here is just, I don't know, I'm really confused. Like, I found out, you know, like, the kids have to wear uniforms. This is a thing they have down here. They didn't have that there. You know, like, it took me five different tries to find the right school that my kids would be registered in because of zoning.
Well,
like we were just driving around going to school to be like, is this the one? Oh, no. Okay, it's another one. We'll try this one. Oh, wait, no, it's not that one. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened? You know, I'm used to being like, you know, oh, well, the school is this one. It's just this one in this, you know, in this place, and everything's just fine. But, yeah, no, I'm really glad that I did it, actually, because I'm enjoying myself. And the funny thing is that my kids seem to be adjusting just fine. It's me that's, you know, having, you know, moments where I'm completely freaked out because, like, it's like, you know, some random stranger will come up and talk to me, and I'm like, you know, like, who are you? I had a woman today, yesterday at the mall, walk up and be like, "Oh, have you seen that they're making a new play place for the kids?" And I didn't realize she was talking to me, so I looked around to see somebody else because I'm used to that kind of bubble environment where, like, you kind of wave at people, but you don't really talk to them and you don't know them, you know. So yeah, it's been a very different experience, and I'm glad I did it. And yeah, I plan on writing about it, you know, as much as possible, because I've always been a big believer, you know, it's like we talked about before, that, you know, if anything's going to happen here, it has to be done by example. So, you know, if you're going to do something, you have to do it yourself. So, you know, here I am.
Right on. Well, I know it's going to serve you well when you eventually do hit the road, when you do get that RV and you do become nomadic, because from what I understand with RV communities, when you pull up into some place, A lot of times everybody's out wanting to get to know who you are and what you're about and what's going on, how long you plan on staying. So getting used to that kind of situation. And, of course, the crazy shit you might see on the road, too. I mean, part of the fun for me traveling across America would be stopping at all the truck stops and seeing what kind of crazy shit I could get into. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to just seeing how it all pans out with your blog. So we got 2 minutes left. Go ahead. Hello.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Yeah, no, I'm excited to see what exactly we're going to see out there. Not just that, but I've talked about this on the news before. The main thing is really with my kids is making sure that schooling and everything is going to be, secured, because that's the one way that they can get me and stop me is if I don't have all my ducks in order with my kids.
Right.
I have to make sure that, and it's not just that, but it's homeschooling works differently in different states. Like, I just found this out, Arizona may say yes, but Tennessee says no, and they stop you, you could get in a lot of trouble, because you have kids. Yeah, so that's some of the stuff that's actually been a really interesting thing to look into is that, in a way, and that's one thing I've realized, I've actually thought about blogging about this, is that if you're a parent, the system has really got you when it comes to your kids, more so than anything else. They have a lot of ways to squeeze into your life there that are, it's really shocking, just when I'm researching homeschooling online, I start realizing, every state's different, everything's different, not only that, but this is the way that they can get me, is that I have kids. That's the way they can stop me.
It's a huge lever that they use. But when they threaten you with, you've done the thing, you've done what the system expects you to do, you got the job, you got the house, you got the marriage, and now you have children, and now we own you, because if you ever do anything that we don't like, we will take your children away. We'll say you're endangering your children. So anything you might do that might be even a little bit a sense of freedom on your own, that won't work, and we'll punish you by taking your kids. So, that pretty much wraps up the show. You got anything else you want to throw out there real quick?
No, just keep listening, guys.
Right on. Well, I'm going to roll the outro. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Later.
All right.